Welcome, all you MCU fans, to True Believers, the only podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network that covers the MCU from every multiversal angle that there is, as we try to discuss everything that is happening in the MCU universe, whether it's on the big screen, on Disney Plus, maybe on Hulu, we'll talk about that, and also its connections to the original Marvel Comics and how they relate to the past, current, and future of the MCU universe. But I cannot go multi-universal by myself. It just leads to bad things, and it's just not a good idea. So I'm bringing in my own version of America Chavez, Mr. Kevin Reitzel.
Really? What version of America Chavez am I?
Earth 618, maybe. Your power is cool either way. You can punch yourself through to different multiverses. It's kind of interesting.
I hear that that she's pretty badass, so that's cool.
Yes,
this will be interesting.
You should be honored by the comparison. Okay, I'm just not going to give you her actual superhero nickname of Miss America. So
okay, thank you.
So, you know, we haven't had a lot of MCU action going on, Kevin. It's been a little quiet since Hawkeye wrapped up, and we've had a little bit. We had Spider-Man, which was huge. We thought we were going to have Morbius come out, but that got pushed back because Spider-Man was doing so successful. We're not looking at that till April. So we've had a break. You know, Disney's been focusing on the Star Wars sides of things. We've got Moon Knight coming the 30th of March. But however, in between there, things got a little super for the MCU, as in Super Bowl ads.
The big game. We don't want to get sued.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The big game.
By the way, I was going by the theater the other day, and there's a theater still playing Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah, I think you'll see that for about another week or two, because I think it's due to kick digital like March 1st or something like that.
But the fact that it's still in the theater and it's February, that's a good thing, right? I mean, it's not like mid-1980s when, you know, a movie would stay in the theater for an entire year, but, you know, if it was successful. Because, you know, if that movie came out in 1986, it would still be in the theater through the end of this next year, even with all of the other stuff coming out. But, yeah,
however, I don't think it would be close to $1.5 billion.
Yeah. But yeah, we had the big game, and there were some commercials. So, but I got a question for you. Kyle. So we're going to obviously be talking about the MCU commercials that we got during the Super Bowl. But I got to say, I was actually pretty impressed with the commercials overall this year. I think over the past few Super Bowls, from what I've seen myself and heard, there's maybe been only like one or two good ones, but they haven't been the greatest in the last few years. But this one had some pretty good commercials. What were some of your favorites?
Well, usually we talk about this on Culture Clash, but we're good here because, you know, we are talking about the ads. I was a big fan of the Anna Kendrick Barbie Dreamhouse. I got a kick at the end of it when they say, "Oh, we have this one that has good bones and it's Castle Grayskull."
That was pretty funny. Yes.
I was a big fan of the Alexa ad with Scarlett Johansson and Colin Jost.
Colin Jost,
their real life relation.
Yeah, the Alexa that reads your mind. Yeah, that was a good one. I like the one with Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen, where it was a Lay's potato chip commercial, and they're talking about all of the stuff they've done as friends. You know, like when they caught up in the turf war and the fan that abducted them and all kinds of stuff. That was pretty funny. And then I was my huge fan of I think it was the General Motors reunion of the Austin Powers, Dr. Evil, Scott Evil, and the number one. I thought, and Frau Farbissina. That was a pretty funny commercials. So
yeah. No, it was definitely one of the better ones. The Super Bowl ads have been a little weak the last few years, but yeah. They did a good job here. I got to bring something up though with that, Kevin, just real quick. I was kind of getting a kick out of following social media because there were so many people who thought that other franchise, Star Wars, was going to have a huge commercial for Obi-Wan, the upcoming Obi-Wan Kenobi show, even though Lucasfilm had not had hinted at anything on that. So people were getting mad and upset because there wasn't one. I'm like, it's going to come, but it's going to come when they want to do it, not when It's just because it's that big game.
Yeah, the Super Bowl is the one where if you're going to premiere something, that's where you go. But Disney doesn't have to. They're on everyone's radar, and they don't need to spend millions of dollars to promote the Obi-Wan trailer on there. They'll release it when they're ready, and they don't want to get it caught in the shuffle as well. I think there's part of that going on. They want to own the time that it goes out. So I get that. I wasn't expecting it, to be honest with you. I wasn't expecting that Obi-Wan trailer at all. So I was not disappointed.
Yeah, to me, it's just a little too soon. And I mean, Disney is the GOAT.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially in their ads.
It's true. Yes.
So because we've had a little lack of things, we are obviously doing our chronological rewatch. We just did Iron Man not that long ago. Iron Man 2 is next in line, I believe. Is it not?
Yep. Right, so? Yes, sir. Yeah. So
we will be doing that very soon. But we felt like, okay, we haven't talked about what's happening in the MCU. And there's been a few interesting developments thanks to the Super Bowl and another big piece of news. So I'm calling this, Kevin, in comics we have something called a one-shot, where it's kind of a little, it's a special single bottle issue.
I know what a one shot is.
Okay.
Maybe not all of our listeners or watchers know. So yeah.
Yeah, they might just be strictly MCU fans, so not understanding the concept of a one shot. So that's what we're gonna kind of do here. It's a one shot, but it's not just any kind of one shot. It's an MCU news one shot, which reminds me, we got a little something new here on True Believers. So Kevin, if you'll indulge me.
Mm-hmm. It's time for Snit, Thwip, and Kapow. Let's get to some MCU news.
And Kevin, I think our news is going to get a little strange today.
I see what you did there. Yeah.
So coming out of the Super Bowl, one of the big things everybody was talking about was the new trailer that released for Doctor Strange 2, the Multiverse of Madness. This one kind of showed a lot of things and gave us some hints at some possible things, or at least teased us with some very interesting concepts, Kevin. So first and foremost, what was your first reaction to this trailer?
There's a lot to dive into, and we'll hit probably some specifics on it, but it kind of feels like this is a game changer movie, and that it will point us into the direction and show us of where the rest of phase 4 is going to be going. And also, I think it's the first movie that is really going to rely on what fans learned from the actual Disney Plus series shows, whether it's WandaVision or what have you. If you're just watching this and you're a casual fan, you'll probably still enjoy it, but you won't get all the references that will probably be mentioned or maybe even shown in this movie. And I think that's really important.
I agree. I think that is very important. And I agree with you too. And I've been actually saying this for a while, that this is the movie that's going to set the stage, not only for stage 4, but maybe the entire future of the MCU, at least for the next 10 years, because I think this film is really going to establish some major things that are going to be coming in the MCU. And I will get into some of those plot things in a minute, but my first reaction to this trailer was just, it's overwhelming. Almost. So much going on in this, but I'll tell you one thing that just stood out for me. It did have that Sam Raimi feel, of course, Sam Raimi being the director for this film, Kevin, and somebody who I know you have a very personal investment with when it comes to his movies.
Oh yeah. You know, obviously, he directed the Spider-Man trilogy in the early 2000s with Tobey Maguire, but he's done a slew of other films, and then he got his start in horror. And of course, his big breakout role was the 1981 Evil Dead film that both that Aaron loves, my fiance and myself. And he has a very eclectic group of movies that he's done, and he hasn't just stuck to one genre. I mean, he even did a great baseball film for Love of the Game with Kevin Costner, which is one of my favorite sports films, but he's more known for a little bit of the horror edge, and then of course diving into the superhero world, and now he's back with Marvel doing Doctor Strange. And it definitely looks like it has his flair, which I think is interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this film. I'm very excited for the concepts that this film could bring, which leads me into, let's have some discussions about some of the things we saw in this, Kevin. Obviously,
or heard.
Things that we see. Yeah, or heard. There's a lot we've heard, too. But I want to focus on what we saw initially, because obviously we see the new character of America Chavez, who we knew was going to be in this film. We see her in a few scenes. We see a lot of different mystic things from the Doctor Strange universe, whether it's Sidorak, the Crimson Bands of Sidorak. You've got a character from What If that we were well-known, versed in from
just seeing say him, it, What say If. Say it, Kyle. Come on, say it. Say it.
Don't make me. I can't pronounce it. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it.
The big squiddy tentacle thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The big squiddy tentacle thing.
Yes. Okay. I don't know the name of it. So.
Yeah. Then we also see different versions of Doctor Strange in this. We see a Defender Doctor Strange. We see a zombie Doctor Strange, which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. And of course, we see another version of Strange, which a lot of speculation is a version of Doctor Strange we've already seen, and that's Strange Supreme from the What If series from Disney Plus.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, so well, there's a lot of things going.
Okay. I thought you were continuing. So go ahead, because yeah. I didn't hear.
Yeah, no, I was also going to say. But then we see a few other familiar faces from the original Doctor Strange film. Major McAdams is back. We see Chetwell Ejiofor back as Mordo. A lot going on here, Kevin, but I'm going to ask you, what kind
Elizabeth
of
Olsen?
What were the things that stood out? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on. We knew that was coming. But
yeah. What stood out? Hearing Patrick Stewart's voice, that stood out. I know his voice. I even know his I'm older now voice, especially from watching Picard last year, and season 2 is coming out. It looks like he got like busted too for crimes of ripping apart dimensions, and it's really hard to kind of pick out a possible plot line here. And these mysterious people that they're being fought or fighting. It's there's really a lot. It is a little overwhelming, to be honest with you. You know, you got Rachel McAdams, you know, having a wedding that Benedict Cumberbatch appears to be a guest at. Chiwetel Ejiofor is back, and I'm not sure, you know, we last saw him in kind of a villainy role when he at the end went back and what was it? He was going to kill, what's his name? Benjamin Bratt, right?
Yeah, he took the magic from him that was enabling him to
walk. Yeah, yeah. And so you're kind of wondering where that is. You know, and I watched a video of like some Easter eggs and stuff like that. And some I understood, some I didn't. It's just that this trailer is just, you know, there's a lot to take. I don't know. What about you?
Obviously, the Patrick Stewart is a huge thing, because it's kind of hard to blur out that bald head and still not have it stand out, especially when you hear that voice. So that's the biggest thing for me, because that is an indication to me that they're going to introduce something in this film called the Illuminati. And the Illuminati was several major powerhouse Marvel characters or influencers that came together and kind of acted like an Illuminati, pulling the strings behind the scenes.
Villainous heroic?
Well, there was kind of a villainous version of it, but there was the version that most people, the Illuminati version, was more heroes. But you had Professor X, you had Reed Richards, you had actually Doctor Strange as a member of the Illuminati. You also had Namor the Submariner, and then a couple other people. Tony Stark was a member, and a couple, T'Challa was a member as well. And they would kind of be like, we think we know what's best, and this is what we're going to do. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it backfired.
So they were kind of like a League of Justice.
Yeah, except they really weren't ever out there as a group fighting. They were behind the scenes mechanisms there. I think they're introducing a version of the Illuminati here where the, maybe they're the multiversal Illuminati, where you have a, this is how they're going to maybe bring in, you know, the Fox universe, Professor X, maybe Ian Grofield from the Fantastic Four films as Reed Richards. There's been some rumors that you might even see Anson Mount as Black Bolt from the Inhumans. And he was actually a member of the Illuminati as well. So, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do here. And of course, the other big rumor has been a Tom Cruise version of Tony Stark based off of the superior Iron Man character that was around for a few years.
We brought up Tony Stark in the last episode of True Believers when we did Iron Man, and he was, you know, he wanted to play Tony Stark slash Iron Man for a while, and he was on the short list if they would have done production of Iron Man earlier, like maybe in the late 90s or something like that, even 2000s. But yeah, so I just think that's great that they're pulling from all that. And there's some speculation. There's a possible scene of him in action in a type of Iron Man-y type suit that's being shot at by Wanda and stuff. So yeah, that's a lot of speculation on there. It'd be interesting if they did that, because one thing we have to throw out here, Kyle, is that this series went through extensive reshoots, which isn't a bad thing. You know, when people say, "Oh, there's reshoots," you know, that means the movie's not good. No, we learn that's not the case. And in these big budget films, a lot of the times they will schedule time after a movie is done for pickups and reshoots. And I think a lot has to do with the change of what movie was supposed to come out first. You know, Doctor Strange was supposed to come out before Spider-Man, but Spider-Man did, and then kind of they did their thing. So they had to kind of switch some stuff around. So I'm really curious what those reshoots were and how that's going to affect the movie.
Yeah, I am too. But I really think this is going to be the movie that's going to be a big ground changer for the MCU, Kevin. I really think this is a movie we're going to be talking about for a very long time, and its ramifications on what's going to happen in the MCU, like I said earlier, for at least a good 10 years. I really think they're going to, this is where we might see the start of Fantastic Four, of X-Men, of some other things. There's a distinct possibility. I think the biggest thing I'm going to say for fans, though, is don't go in with expectations, because I think anything and everything is on the table. So don't be disappointed if you don't get this. Don't be disappointed if you get something
Haley
else.
Haley Atwell. Let's get Haley Atwell as Captain Carter. I want that. I need that.
I think they're going to do something there. It's going to be interesting to see. But yeah, this is going to be one of those movies that's just a marker point in. And there you see Kevin's Captain Carter. What if figure?
Yeah, the Captain Carter figure. Video. Yeah, I can't wait. Let's make it happen. We need action.
Are you still building your Hydra Stomper?
I will for her. But hey, anyway, so it comes out May 6th right now, and that's the next big Marvel movie release, correct?
Correct. That is right now as it stands.
We're not counting Morbius because that's Sony, and that's in April.
That's Sony. We will cover Morbius on this podcast at some point, because of when it's coming out. Might be a little difficult for me to see right out of the gate, but we will check it out because I'm intrigued by Morbius. There's some stuff in there that I'm very curious about. And Sony's got this interesting Spider-Man thing going on right now. I'm kind of curious as to what directions they're going to take that in. But Kevin, so May 6th, we got Doctor Strange. But before that, March 30th, when True Believers will be back on a regular basis, we have a new MCU Disney Plus show coming out. We've seen a couple trailers for it now, including one during the Super Bowl, Moon Knight. And we really haven't talked about Moon Knight since the trailer came out. Of course, two, we have our good friend Kat Cedar, who is an absolutely huge Moon Knight fan, who is over the moon for this show, Kevin. But I've been a fan of Moon Knight for a very long time myself. Of course, everybody's going to start saying that probably here soon. But I think Moon Knight is a very bold choice of a character for Marvel to use, more because, I mean, he looks very cool, but more because of the fact that you're dealing with a character who has a severe multiple personality disorder. And there's a lot of really gut, like Egyptian tie-ins and things like this. And I know one of the descriptions Disney has used on this is kind of think a supernatural Raiders of the Lost Ark kind of feels as well.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the location shoots, and it looks like Oscar Isaac's got an accent going on here, I guess, of the character. But yet he's a former U.S. Marine. So I'm kind of confused by that. I don't know.
So let me, can I clear that up for you briefly?
Yeah, please, please.
The character of Moon Knight is actually a man by the name of Mark Spector. And Mark Spector was a merchant marine, former U.S. Marine, becomes a mercenary kind of thing. And in the comics, he is left to die out in the Egyptian desert. He is confronted by Khonshu, who's the god of the moon, who makes him his Moon Knight, his personal knight representation. In the comics, Mark Spector develops a multiple personality disorder. There is the character of Mark Spector, which is the real person, the first personality. Then you have Stephen Grant, who's kind of this English playboy. And that is the version we're seeing when the show, I think, first opens. Something's happened. He's become this Stephen Grant character. And now he's starting to remember things from Mark Spector, and things are triggering him. And you're starting to see that. Now, he had another personality called Jake Lockey, who was like a New York City cabbie and kind of a rough, tough guy and a little different there. And then recently in the comics, they've also done a different version of Moon Knight called Mr. Knight, which he's kind of more of like a hardcore detective, kind of a noir detective. He's working with the police to help them solve crimes and things like that. In fact, I believe it was Empire Magazine. They will be using the Mr. Knight character in the Moon Knight series. They had a picture of him in one of their recent magazines. So, but in this version, it looks like we've got Mark Spector, who's trying to come out. We've got Stephen Grant, and I think that's who the first personality of Moon Knight we're going to see is. And then obviously we also have Ethan Hawke playing the villain in this. If you go by the character's name, and I'm drawing a blank on it at the moment, forgive me. The character is a very minor character, but it looks like they're maybe combining a few different Moon Knight villains into him to kind of boost him up somewhat. He looks like he's kind of got his own little group of Egyptian artifacts there. Maybe his name is Belloc, Devin?
Yeah, I was curious to see where it was filmed, and it looked like the filming locations is listing it as Budapest, Hungary. So that's interesting.
Yeah, no. So, Kevin, I know you weren't really inspired by the first trailer, but now we've seen a little more. I think there's some interesting things going on there. Are you starting to get a little bit more intrigued by what's going on with Moon Knight?
Yeah, and also, too, the thing that really came across to me that I was impressed with was it had a theatrical feel to it, like a movie feel to it. Just the way that it was shot in the location shoots and the effects that we did see and anything kind of Egyptian-y and cursey, it makes it a lot more interesting for me. So, yes, the newer trailer definitely has me more excited than the first one did. So, yeah.
One of the things, though, from the first trailer that I did find very intriguing, it was more towards the end of that first trailer, is you see him in his full Moon Knight costume, and he's fighting some kind of Egyptian-looking creature. And I'm very intrigued to see what they're going to do with that, because I'm curious to see how they're going to go on the creature effects, because Moon Knight is known to have fought creatures. In fact, another Marvel character who's supposed to be making a debut, and if you're not familiar with this, apparently Marvel is working on some kind of Halloween special with some of their scarier characters. And one of those characters is Werewolf by Night, who was made his debut in the original Moon Knight comic. So I'm kind of curious to see what some of the stuff they're doing. They're trying to do some interconnections here and create maybe they're a little bit more of their more supernatural, darker side characters here. And I'm kind of curious to see what they're going to do here with Moon Knight and how, because there's a lot of rumors that Moon Knight's going to connect with the Mahershala Ali Blade film.
Oh, that would be cool. I was looking at some of the stills from the trailer, and that one scene in the trailer where you see him flying down and you see this little pyramid thing, but his cape is shaped like a moon, a half moon thing or a crescent moon. It looked really, really cool. I thought that was a neat effect.
Yeah, it was very cool. Also, there's a scene where he's holding his hand up and he's catching one of his crescent darts, which is like one of his signature weapons, kind of like his version of the Batarang. But it looks like it's coming from the moon because of where he catches it from.
Right.
A very cool effect. So I'm excited. It's not that far away, Kevin. We're maybe about 5 weeks away from 5-6 weeks away from the debut. And of course, I'm a huge Oscar Isaacs fan. So in my opinion, the man can do no wrong right now. I thought he was phenomenal in Dune, and I think he's going
to. I just want to say real quick, you had mentioned it, and I need to make the point again that our friend Kat is a huge Moon Knight fan, and he loves the old school comic and the look and all that kind of stuff. And I'm curious, we'll have to get him on for an episode of True Believers after the first episode and just kind of get his thoughts on it, because he's been excited about Moon Knight even before the series was ever announced. And I think he was originally working on a costume too. He may have one. I can't remember, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a classic look costume. It's one of my favorite costumes in the MCU. So I'm looking forward to see how it looks on screen. And the one thing that they're doing with his costume that it throws me off a little bit, his mask is pure white. And in the comics, there was a point where he had the white costume, but the mask over his face was black with white eyes. It was really cool looking.
Well, when I see those old like costumes of his in the comics, though, it definitely looks like it's very comic-y, and you know, with the way the outfit looks, and that isn't going to fly in a live action current day telling of it. And I like what they've done, because it looks like his wrappings and his face mask look like he's mummified a little bit with a mummy type of wrap thing. And I think that was a smart aesthetic for them to use for this, since it's an ancient, like, you know, Egyptian, you know, magic or curse or whatever it is. I like it. I'm intrigued by the costume.
Yeah, I am too. I'm like I said, I'm intrigued by everything they're going to do with this series, because I think this series is going to be a little all over the place, because they're going to really play up the multiple personality disorder. I know that was one of your concerns, Kevin, is that it looked like it was going to get a little too outside the box for your liking.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how they're going to handle that. And stuff. But what I'm very curious about, Kyle, and we have to ask this question. We know what's going to happen. You know, we know this question regarding Doctor Strange, but how is Moon Knight going to be attached to the current MCU? Is it going to be the Blade thing, you know, that you mentioned? Who does he know? Who else is going to drop in on this series that will connect it to the rest of the MCU? How does he dive into that? Because from what I know in the trailer, nothing has been teased that will let us know that just yet.
I think there's a couple different ways they could go with this. The most thing everybody's talking about is that it's going to tie in with Blade. And I think that has been, that it's going to be the most tie in with Blade.
Blade. Okay. Whatever. Yeah. But that's the issue. Blade hasn't been introduced yet. So, you know, who's going to be that person that's already established in the MCU that's going to open up the gate? You know, I mean, there's that one scene where he's in the truck and fans pointed it out. And I think we put it on True Believers that there's a box that says the Doctor Doom logo on it or something, or whatever it is. So that's teasing something there. But it obviously will introduce someone else as well, you know, into the universe. But shouldn't there be a connected person that's already out there?
Well, technically we've heard Blade's voice. So we know Blade is recruiting people for something.
Blade's voice was in this trailer?
No, we heard Blade, but we've heard Blade's voice at the end of Eternals.
Oh, right. Okay.
When he was talking to the Black Knight. So Blade is up to something. So maybe we see Kit Harington as a connective tissue, being a spokesman for Blade and whatever's going on there.
And doesn't
he have
a history archaeology thing going on as well? So maybe that's a tie. I don't know.
Yeah, that could very well be. They could be building something with some vampire and Egyptian connections and all kinds of things. They got some things there. The other option would be, obviously, I think, would be possibly Thor. With you're dealing with gods here, the Egyptian gods. We have the Norse gods.
Let's be honest, though. We're not going to see Thor in a TV series. We're not going to see that.
Well, no, I'm not saying, but all I'm saying is because you have the God Killer coming in Thor, Love and Thunder, played by
Christian. Yeah, but I'm asking who's going to show up in this show to say, you know, oh, hey, you know, we could use you over here on our side, or, you know, hey, I happen to be a friend with, you know, I don't know, someone that we know already, you know? So that's what I'm saying.
There's a lot of possibilities. I think that's some of the fun of Moon Knight is some of the unknown that they're doing.
So, okay. I'm excited, though. I'm curious. I like Oscar Isaac, so.
And we got one more piece of news we want to talk about here real quick. And I think it's kind of an important piece of news, Kevin. It's that on March 1st, the Marvel shows of Daredevil, Punisher, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and Defenders are, and Jessica Jones are leaving Netflix. And they're going to fall back to Disney as Marvel properties. So the question then becomes, where are these shows going to return as? Because Disney has every intent, they've already said, of returning them to broadcasting of some form. And what does this mean for these characters going forward? Disney has been very all in on the Charlie Cox's Daredevil, right now. And now that they've got these properties in, and Kevin Feige has been very strong on the train of he wants to do something with Jon Bernthal as the Punisher. So my first question for you, Kevin, is where do you think these shows land within the Disney family of things for streaming? And two, do you think this could open up the door for return of several more of these characters? Do you think now that Disney has them fully under their control again?
They really should, because I think the characters were developed well. And we should say, too, that and I wasn't sure until I read the article on Deadline here that you had the notes that they would only be available on Netflix until March 1st. To answer your question, I think that they should retain them all in one way or another. They're established. They're canon in my head. And it would be a shame. And the fact that you've already done Charlie already in the Spider-Man movie, you know, let's get Jessica Jones in there. Let's get Luke Cage. Let's get Iron Fist. Let's get these guys in here. Let's let them do their thing. I know, you know, Iron Fist is probably everyone's least favorite. I liked him personally, but these guys are fighting New York, you know, I mean, in Brooklyn and all those places. So let's give them some love here. And I think this is a great way to reintroduce them and maybe a way to not necessarily make the Netflix stuff non-canon, but done in a way to where they can still continue to do stuff without it like, oh, well, you can't do that because they did that in Netflix, that type of thing. You don't want that. You want them to kind of still do something new to where Netflix, those stories can still be watchable, because I'm assuming that this will probably drop on our Hulu because of the more adult nature that those portrayed with adult, more some adult language, more adult violence and stuff like that, which is fine with me. And I know overseas, this will probably still drop on Disney Plus because things are different overseas. But I don't know. Same question to you, Kyle. What do you think?
Well, I think as far as where they drop, there's an interesting thing here. Overseas, you talked about overseas. Overseas, Disney, there's an extra channel on Disney Plus. I think they call it like the Star Channel or something like that. And that's where their more adult materials go.
Right.
And there's been rumors that Disney might be looking to do something like that here in the States on Disney Plus to get more subscribers to Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I personally think right now Hulu seems like the best option just because of the content. I can't see the content, especially of some of the stuff that happens in Jessica Jones, especially
right,
being on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens there. I think what they're going to do with these characters is very similar to what they've done with Lucasfilm and the Legends, that they weren't canon. And then now they've been slowly kind of working some of these characters that they said weren't canon back into Star Wars. I think they're going to kind of do that, but in a way to where they're going to keep some of the aspects of the stories that were told in Netflix, but maybe not all of the aspects of it. I think what I would love is I would love to see them keep most of the casting. I have a sneaking suspicion that they will recast Iron Fist. And I wouldn't even be surprised if the first time we see Iron Fist is maybe tied in with a Shang-Chi movie. There's a lot of connections there.
That would be a nice natural thing to do, is do that. That'd be cool. Yeah. I just really hope definitely get Luke Cage. Maybe bring him in.
I know Mike. You know? I know Mike Coulter's on that CBS show Evil right now, which surprisingly is still going strong. But I know he would love to come back to Luke Cage. And he is Luke Cage. I couldn't see anybody else in that role. I think Finn Jones is replaceable. I think Jessica Jones, I think Kristen Ritter really owned that. But I could see that Bernthal is the Punisher, and I think Kevin Feige set on that right now.
Back up. Would you say that Kevin Feige said?
Kevin Feige has been really, I think he's set to, when he brings Punisher back, that it's Jon Bernthal.
Okay, good. Good, good, good.
He has raved about Barenthal's performance as the Punisher since it came out. So.
Yep, yep.
I think Barenthal said he will only come back if he can do the Punisher properly, which means it's R-rated material. So this is going to be an interesting thing.
Yeah. So someone's going to have to kind of, I mean, if they're going to bring Deadpool and Deadpool's going to stay R-rated to a certain degree, I think in certain crossovers, he doesn't have to be R-rated. And I think there needs to be some give and take there. So
I think there eventually will be. But I think if they're going to do a movie or another Punisher TV show, I think it's going to have that harder edge to it. I don't think Barenthal would. He was pretty strong on that aspect. But what's going to be interesting to see, I think is great is that they're going to. I think this is going to at least incorporate these characters in one way or another back into the MCU. I think then the next question is what's going to happen with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I think that is, because that is also leaving Netflix March 1st.
Yeah, I kind of think they've written that off, to be honest with you. I mean, it sucks because I would love to have an updated Coulson update in the MCU movies. I love the fact that he survived. And I think that needs to be done still. I really do.
Yeah.
At least, you know, like have it thrown out there. Like, yeah, I was busy running S.H.I.E.L.D. Operatives, blah, blah, blah. You know, allude to what has happened, but not necessarily say what happened. But, you know, just something to say. It's okay. It's still out there. You can still watch it and enjoy it. But we're not going to confirm that it's not canon.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see, but I'm excited. It's a very interesting time for the MCU right now, and I think it's going to be this year especially is going to be very interesting between what they're doing on Disney Plus and in the theaters. Because after Doctor Strange, you're looking at a few things, and in 2023, we've got Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, which is going to involve Kang, which of course ties into Loki. Right, so it's going to be very interesting how things play out. But Kevin, I'm excited. It's fun to talk a little MCU. We will be back with our chronological rewatch of Iron Man 2. We will get that on the schedule here soon. But I'm excited for the future of the MCU, Kevin.
I am. It's going to be an interesting year, exciting year. And I'm glad that we got those trailers for the big game.
So with that, it's time for us to start wrapping things up. Of course, you can find True Believers on our main master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. And of course, check out the YouTube channel. If you're watching this video, please like, subscribe, share it out with people. There's a couple other ways to follow us too. You can find our podcasts on pretty much all the major podcast catchers, including the Podbean app, iTunes, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify. And of course, to follow our Facebook page, we've got the True Believers Facebook group where we keep you updated with everything that's going on in the MCU. And of course, to the Fandom Podcast Network main Facebook page where we cover everything in Fandom there. If you want to email us, you can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network or on Twitter at FanPod Network. I am Kyle. You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you when you're not out worshiping moon gods?
I'm going to find that fascinating. I'm actually looking forward to that part of it. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. And of course, in that group, the True Believers MCU group that we have there, make sure you check that out.
And of course, a couple other great ways to support the Fandom Podcast Network. Go to our TeePublic page. We have all the gear from all this podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network. Go to teepublic.com, search Fandom Podcast Network, or type in the title of your favorite show on the network. You can find hoodies, tees, mugs, laptop cases. It's all there. Give it a check out. And of course, any proceeds from that go here to keep the Tesseract running so we can keep the lights on. And of course, too, we love reviews, especially on iTunes. Those 5-star reviews are great, but we love the reviews in general because, as always, we're striving to make better podcasts to feed your ears. Now, Kevin, before we get out of here, it's time to take care of a little Excelsior business, as in Excelsior points. Oh. Now, we've been away a bit, but you brought some really good insight to both Moon Knight and Doctor Strange, and I'm glad that you've opened up your mind a little bit more to Moon Knight. I know you had some initial concerns.
Yeah,
No, go ahead.
Before you were, I just want to say, I know that they just want to do a little teaser trailer at first and they want to wait and do the big one and stuff like that. But it's it's interesting how there's been some trailers when they just kind of first put it out there that, where it just doesn't land, you know, and I'm happy that for me, the second one landed and they got a little more into it. And I think they need to, do a little better on those first intro teaser trailers. They need to really kind of, you know, just throw in one hook, give us something more interesting to talk about. You know what I'm saying? Just one image and then play it out for the main trailer. So, yeah. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
No. Okay. That's okay. So we are going to award you 3 Excelsior points for this episode. Now, as always, you have the option of getting awarded something today or you can bank them with.
Well, since I don't know when we're going to be able to cash in it later on, so I'm going to cash mine in now. I know it's not a lot, but maybe I'll get lucky. We'll see.
Okay, well, with 3 Excelsior points and the fact that you know, we've called you a version of America Chavez from another multiverse Earth, that is going to show you a one-way trip through the multiverses. The only problem is I can't tell you which Earth you're going to land. It's
a one-way trip.
It's a one-way trip, man.
Okay. Well, can I
no not control over where you land?
Can I hold on to it? You know, like what is it? What is it? Like, what allows me to get there? Do I have to talk to Wanda? Because apparently she knows how to do that. Do I go to Doctor Strange? Is there a ring that I hold on to? Is there what is it that allows me to do that?
It's initial travel from your Excelsior points, but once you arrive there, you can either go through the Scarlet Witch Travel Agency or the Strange Supreme Travel Agency, and you're taking your chances either way.
Yeah, both of those don't feel inviting at all. but if I had to choose, I'm going to stay away from Wanda.
I think that's a wise decision, my friend.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Strange Supreme and see what he has to offer there. So, yeah.
Yeah. I just remember, stay away from any squid-like looking creatures.
Okay.
That's the best advice I can give you.
I'll definitely do that. So, yeah.
So, between now and then, like I said, we will be back with our True Believers chronological rewatch of the Infinity Saga with Iron Man 2, and we might even sneak Thor in there before that time. And then, of course, we'll be back on a regular basis come March
30th. Hold on. Don't forget, we got the Incredible Hulk as well.
And I remember. Oh, yeah, that's right. We do have the Incredible Hulk as well. Forget about Edward Norton. What can I say? Yes. But we will definitely be back on a regular basis once Moon Knight kicks off, and then we will have a multiverse of madness that hopefully we can escape from. It's a little scary around. As always, I want to thank everybody for listening, and thank you to my partner in crime, Mr. Reisel, for yet another fulfilling episode of True Believers. Not too much turbulence in the multiverse as of yet. It's coming. Until next time, as always, Excelsior to all your wonderful listeners and watchers on YouTube. And until next time, please make ours Marvel.